Welcome to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
You want to introduce our guest, John Heffron, with us. John, good to see you again, brother.
Good morning.
And you are Instagramming live, right?
I think so. I'm trying to decide.
All right.
I'm also trying to decide if I'm a grown adult and need to be doing this or not. So I'm kind of having a lot of internal battles right now with myself.
Yeah, join the club.
If I'm just present with you guys and not do this. But
okay.
So don't mind me if I'm looking
at my phone.
You guys got things to do over there. You do that and I'll do me.
All right. We got
okay. And then we'll talk.
John's
we'll make
the bone
contact.
This weekend. Yeah. We got the Hotel Mumbai, by the way. Is that in theaters?
In theaters nationwide now.
And we love talking to this man. We've done it two or three times. Jason Isaacs with us. Hi, Jason. How you doing?
Welcome.
I'm good. I've no idea what you're doing in my dream. My eyes are still fast, glued fast together. But for this film, I will happily talk to you in my sleep.
Okay, I want to ask you this question. I was reading your Twitter last week, and tell us a story about somebody mistaking you for Timothy Dalton. It was hilarious.
Oh, my God. I was in the elevator at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just having had slightly too much lunch. I just checked my profile in the mirror and ran my hand over my not-quite-so-flat stomach. And he said, hey, honestly, let me tell you, Mr. Dalton, you're in terrific shape. And then I turned, because I thought it was a funny joke, and then I looked at him. He was dead serious. And to this retreating man walking down the corridor, I went, he's 75 years old!
I love how you had it on Twitter. You said, obviously, the great Timothy Dalton is 75, and I'm 55, but thanks for saying I look great.
Well, perhaps that guy hadn't seen...
Actually, funny, the second time it's happened, I went into a Best Buy last year.
Mm-hmm.
The guy goes, oh, my God. Oh, man, that is so freaky. I'm sorry. It's just so weird, Mr. Dalton. I was watching you last night in a movie.
Man.
And I went, I was just kind of... gut punch.
Do you know Timothy Dalton personally?
I do not know Timothy Dalton. No,
okay.
I now would be embarrassed to meet him. But he's a very fine figure of man. He's magnificently handsome. But he's got a few years on me.
He's got 20. He's got 20 years on you.
But evidently, none of these people have seen Timothy Dalton in the last 30 years. So,
that might be it.
Yeah,
well,
that's why.
I hope they were watching movies that he made 20 years ago. That's all.
I'm sure they were.
Actually, the truth is, I remember going to Sundance last year or the year before, and the Sundance Festival, you don't really watch films if you're in one of the films. You just spend your entire life being photographed, going up and down the street during the day to these different places. And then at night you go to some party or other, which is just a restaurant with blaring music.
Mm-hmm.
You scream over the music to people you've never met before and pretend you recognize them. And on about the third day, you're taking the photographs and you haven't had any sleep. And my darling followers on Instagram, there's 300,000 or 400,000 of them, whatever they are, almost everyone... I posted a picture to promote the film, and almost everyone went, Jace, get some sleep. You've got to go to bed. You look terrible. I was like, wow, those are my followers. I should maybe skip some parties and go to bed. Well, clearly this man in the elevator is telling me the same thing.
We were just talking about this, actually, before we leaned into you, about how you can't just act. You have to be on social media. And we can't just John's with us, our comedian friend John Heffron. He can't just do stand-up. He's got to be on social media. We can't do 5 hours of talk radio. We've got to be on social media. It's ridiculous.
I find it very troubling because... just, you know, I do what the president does, except he should have a full-time job. And I sit in my bed in the middle of the night, and sometimes I tweet out rants about how annoying I find his racism or ignorance or the Brexit debacle. And then in between this kind of political stuff, or I think human stuff.
Right, it is human.
Kind of pushing back against hatred. I get someone going, would you mind saying that the DVD's out tomorrow? Or could you say that the show's on at 7 o'clock? And I go... yeah, it doesn't really fit the tone of the conversation. So, you know, and I alternate between, oh, look at me, I'm in this marvelous thing, or isn't this great that my friend's show is out, and
Trump's
know,
a racist.
Pushing back against the Nazis.
I like that.
Well, I mean, we have Nazis in my country, in this country, we have people who are walking around with SS things and celebrating Hitler. Let's not pretend we don't. You
know? No. We are totally on your side of this issue, believe me. I've seen your Twitter. We're on the same page. I want to ask you about the movie Hotel Mumbai. Obviously a serious movie and a sad incident. So how do you make a movie like this exciting, even though we know how bad it turns out?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
It's a great question. There is actually, people don't know about it. People remember what I remember, which is there was this... 3 days during which one of the most prestigious hotels in the world, built full of very, very wealthy and influential Western guests, was held hostage. There was a siege there and people died. And I remember the TV cameras being outside all the time. And me thinking, what the hell's going on behind those doors? Well, What was going on is the reason to make the film,
right?
Which is the hotel staff, the hotel, the kitchen staff, and the hotel staff saved thousands of these guests. I mean, it's a story of heroism. It's actually, you know, funny enough, there's a link with the politics we're talking about. We're told that we're all different from each other, and we're told to hate different groups. But actually, when the bullets started flying, all barriers evaporated: race, religion, class, money, and they clubbed together and they managed to save themselves. I mean, 30-odd people died in the hotel. Now, a couple of hundred people died and a few hundred were injured in the attacks across Mumbai. But in this hotel, where they went in to try and kill everybody, they barely managed to kill anybody because of the heroism of the hotel staff. They not only did they ferry people out and then come back in and get more all the time when they could have escaped, but they also hit people because they were on the phone to their relatives who were watching the same TV we were and saying, careful, you know, they're telling which bits were blowing up and which bits were burning. And so the inspiration for the film, and I know why audiences find it inspiring, is it's a real affirmation of how good and selfless human beings are, which is not what we're told from the White House and many other places.
You're how many people were you able to talk to that were actually involved?
Yeah,
in
who
the
do
answer?
You play? Who do you play in the movie?
So I play an amalgamation of characters. So out of respect to the dead, details have changed. Not of everybody. So the great Bollywood superstar Anupam Kher plays a very, very famous chef, Henan Oberoi, because he's been so public about it that he's depicted accurately. I'm an amalgamation of a couple of people, but I'm a very disgusting, very selfish, entitled pig of a Russian businessman. I don't sound so unsurprised by that. Anyway.
No, because we know you, but you're a very cool guy, but you played some bad guys. You played...
I have.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. And actually, what he did, or the piece he was based on, did during the course of the night, surprised himself. You know, and what many of the guests did, you know, they didn't scramble over each other, they didn't push past each other to get out, they helped each other. Human beings are essentially good and community-minded. And given the opportunity, you know, particularly in the worst situations, the best of people came to the fore. And we had the opportunity to meet many people. There's documentaries about it, there's footage. The same staff are at the hotel. Many of them who were there then. It's only 10 years ago. They went back to their jobs.
And that's been 10 years. That's been 10 years already.
10
God,
years.
God, man. I don't even
remember. 2008.
Wow, man, that's crazy.
Actually, 11 now. It's 2008.
Yeah.
But the director of the co-writer spent a year speaking to all the survivors, speaking to the staff, speaking to the police, and also, amazingly, they had access to the phone calls and the transcripts of the phone calls that the terrorists made or were on the phone with their controller in Pakistan. So they heard how they were being spoken to all night long and the conversations they had too. So it's you know, although they distilled things down to four or five central characters, everything you see happens somewhere. And it has a, you know, it's very authentic. But most importantly, it's oddly, for a film with all the violence in it, it's very life-affirming.
That's interesting. I'm glad you explained it that way because it's obviously a sad subject. But you're right. I didn't know that many people were saved, and I didn't know how many people actually died in that. And even though I knew the story, Hotel Mumbai in theaters now. We gotta let Jason go. But Jason, thank you for calling. Good luck, and tell Timothy Dalton hi when you do see him. All right.
I absolutely will. He's just next to me in the bed here. I will.
See you, man.
Take care.
All right. Jason Isaacs, very cool dude. You tweeted out, you retweeted that you look like his younger brother.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think we have a little bit of a
I saw that.
A thing.
In the eyes.
Something.
Yeah.
Maybe the eyes that I had, 2 months ago before.
So you were scheduled back. John Heffron's the Funny Bone this weekend, funnyboneomaha.com. You were there last night, obviously, but tonight, just tonight and tomorrow night. You were supposed to be here about 3 months ago, and we heard you were sick.
Yes.
But you're better, so that's good. What'd you have?
I had, I thought I was having a stroke. I was on stage.
Oh, you're on stage.
And as I'm talking, I started kind of talking like this, you know, just during my act.
Yeah.
And then I felt the right side of my face. I felt it
on stage.
Falling. I felt it getting weird, and I try to raise my eyebrow on my right side.
How much more time did you have on stage?
It's like right when I got on stage. So I even joke with the audience because I slur, and I go, I've had a little bit too much to drink, ha-ha. They laugh a little bit later. I go, I think I'm having a stroke. Did anyone else see the lights? Ha-ha.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, deep down,
you knew something's going
on. In my brain, I'm like, oh, this is not good.
Right.
This is not.
Was it your first show of the night?
No, it was like second, you know. So then I'm like, well, I'll just get through this and, I don't know, go to Arby's. And then, you know, and then we'll see what happens. So then I have like a 6 a.m. flight.
Yeah.
Right. So now the second show's done.
You what get town are you in?
Wisconsin.
Got it. All
right. So you've not sought medical attention?
No, because now it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I know I have to be at the airport at 4.
Right.
This is, by the way, I'm making every horrible mistake you could be making right now.
Right.
So if you're listening to me, this
if
is the
If you were really stroking out.
This yes. was the opposite of what you should have done.
Okay.
So then I get on the flight, and I fly. I have a layover in Dayton or something weird, right? But now I'm feeling just there's you have an internal gut thing, and that those alarms were kicking off. So I'm on the flight, and my brother-in-law, who's a heart surgeon, I take a picture of my face because I'm trying to stick out my tongue, and my tongue is way too left or right. It won't stick out straight.
Right.
I'm like, oh man, I'm not on WebMD, but this is probably a problem.
I take a picture of
my face and I send it to my brother-in-law. And then you know how when you have the text bubble, how it just like somebody's typing along.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just holding the phone as he's typing like a 5-page
thing.
And then it disappears. Ever have that happen? You're like, and then all I get is a thumbs up. I get a thumbs up from him. I get an ambulance and then a headstone. So I'm like,
oh,
okay, so I'm stroking out. You know?
Well, you could have just called you at that point.
Yeah, yeah. I would have liked maybe a real phone call, not like, and why?
Thumbs up.
Why is a headstone in your emoji current? You're a doctor. That should be, you know what I mean? That right, should be something that you use on a regular basis. Yeah, it should be a kissy face for your wife. Maybe it's a heart. Maybe a thumbs up. So then I ended up going to...
man, that's crazy.
Now I'm in a hospital. This is Christmas Eve now.
Oh, it is?
Now I'm being rolled through on a gurney on Christmas Eve. And then I get there, and, you know, they're checking you in. I've never been to the hospital before, so it was all a little overwhelming. I'm laying there. And they go, we need emergency contact for you. And it's right when I'm going through a divorce.
I heard about that. I didn't know the details.
So
that's,
I didn't
that's your
have.
Business, but that's, I, sorry about that.
So I didn't have an emergency. I had a weird moment of I'm not putting her as my emergency contact because
you're mad.
That's not a thing. So they're like, we need a number for you.
Your parents alive?
But I have no numbers memorized.
who does?
Like, give me my phone back and I'll give you a number. Right. But if you don't give me my phone back, I don't know, put another doctor you know as the emergency contact. How about the next person that could help me? Because I have no numbers memorized at all.
Yeah.
So then they go through, long story short, it turns out it's his Bell's palsy.
Which is better than a stroke.
Better than a stroke, but it's the same exact process, basically. So what happens is you have, not to get on medical.
I've seen some people with it, and it's...
You have one nerve that goes from the back of your right ear that kind of spreads, is the electric cord to, like, your whole side of your face. And it's the same nerve, like, your dentist will numb your face when your face drops.
All right.
It's the same. That's what they numb. So it's kind of like your right part of your brain didn't pay the electric bill, and it just drops, right? So then, but you're talking, and I even hate when I joke about it.
Yeah.
It's weird, like, PSE, where I even hate doing it as an example, but if you take your lips and throw it as far to the left as you possibly can.
Right. Everybody's doing that.
Everybody's doing it and then talk that way. Like,
oh, yeah, that'd be tough.
Well, almost like Popeye.
Yeah,
like you're talking like this, and you don't have the muscles to pull your...
Or basically when you're numbed up with the Novocaine trying to talk too, right?
But you're... So, my eye wouldn't blink for 2.5 weeks. I couldn't close my one eye.
Really?
And then they tell you, when is it... you know, when does it get better? You have a shot to give me, right? And it just shocks my face back.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah. And then you're how do you, like, is it a week or two? And they're like, could be permanent. Could be a year. Could be a couple months. Everybody's different. We don't know. But don't stress because it's stress related. And you're like, are you serious? And I'm literally...
I've heard that could be permanent too, but is it ever permanent? I mean, it could be means it has to be. I've had people that... I know people that have had it, two or three people in my life I've seen,
but
they all got
away.
Better. They all got better, right?
No, well, I was looking online, and it would range from I had Bell's palsy, it was gone in a month, to I'm year 5, There wasn't one consistent. If you were to do a spreadsheet right. and go, okay, the average person only has it for, I couldn't figure out the average.
But the stress part, if you don't, first of all, you're going through a divorce, you have a career where you travel all the time.
And I couldn't talk.
Yeah, you couldn't talk.
Were there other factors that brought it on, or is it just stress?
You know what they say? Well, I read, right, but it's all urban, like there's no, they go, it's stress. Well, every disease is caused by stress.
Right,
like,
sure.
So I don't know if I, somebody said it's a cold wind hits your ear at the wrong, like getting punched.
Really?
Like all this random stuff.
Yeah.
So no one knows how. Nobody knows. And they go, well, there's nothing you can do about it. So, I went and got acupuncture.
Oh, you did?
I did every voodoo. I was hanging upside down on my bed to try to get blood to rush to my head.
All right.
Hoping
so
that
you read any kind of wives' tale thing, you did?
I was burying statues. I might have killed a few animals under a ritual.
Might have.
More importantly, were you documenting all this on social media?
You know what? I didn't post anything because I looked. The pictures of me, it was horrible. I just mentally felt so, because I was literally like, oh, I'm single now, and now I lost half my face. Now I will be single for the rest. You know, on my dating profile, I'm like, do I change the picture? Because I'm not being honest. Like, now I have to go, hey, ladies, who's looking for the guy? Anyone like the Phantom of the Opera guy? Because now I got to get that mask.
I'm
just
not an animal.
Just nighttime music of the night.
You could have worn the mask, right.
You know, is anybody, I guess I become a hockey goalie. You know, I was having a...
Did it slowly come back, your face? Or was it one day you woke up, it was back to normal?
It's still not back. I'm probably 60. I still, when I smile, I see the difference. Now, people who don't know me well, and listen, how often do you stare into somebody's eyes? Not
a
lot.
That's a good point.
So I'm, this sounds weird, but I'm grateful that it's back to what it is.
When you walked in here, you look totally normal to me.
Oh, like, that's great to hear. Yeah. Like, I couldn't talk. The hard part
I can see you doing that now. I'm watching you because you are
I slur.
Yeah, but
I have a little bit of
it's just a little bit lower, but nothing major. But I'm just looking too closely right at you.
Yeah, no, it's droopy. So like my right side,
you couldn't tell that.
Like if I start chewing, if I start putting dip in my mouth, mm-hmm. that would fix everything. Because then you would just think I have dip in my mouth, and I'm gonna talk like this anyway.
Good point.
So or a pipe, maybe I could have a pipe.
So
or,
you're off. Sure. Were you off stage for 5 weeks? That's a paycheck.
It was
a lot of paychecks, man.
It was a while. So I did a New Year's Eve show, and then...
you ended up doing New Year's Eve?
I did New Year's Eve. I should have canceled it, but it was a week out, and it was New Year's Eve, and the shows were sold out, and I'm laying in bed. I'm like, well, can I do it? And then about week one, I got...
Did you go on stage right away and say, listen, I got Bell's palsy, that's why I look this way?
I had, because I was talking like this, and my face was literally melted. So it physically, I don't want to be seen in public like this.
Yeah.
So, excuse me. So I had to grab, how you grab a kid's, like a little chubby kid?
Right,
a little chubby little cutie, and you grab his cheek?
Yeah.
I had to grab my cheek, and then I had to pull my cheek back like this.
Uh-huh.
Like, just so you could hear me talk, because if I didn't pull it back like this.
So you're on stage doing that the whole time?
I would talk like this, but if I pulled it back like this, at least... you get a little bit of extra sound, and then I had to put my elbow on my hand, and I did my whole show holding my face back, and it was
into the mic.
You should have had a guy do that. The mic stayed on the stand.
Yeah, I had to do this thing, and it was do a joke, and then it was an eternal battle of get off the stage, and then it was me telling myself, don't wuss out. Keep doing a joke, and then I would go, and then I'd be like, just walk off stage.
Well, you're very, very funny. Guys, was there sympathy and also laughter the whole show?
No, it was, though. It was like if you were, let's say you had a bleeding chest wound.
Okay? let's say
I sit down here, and you're bleeding. Let's say you're just bleeding out of your chest.
Got it.
And you're like, I'm going to interview this guy about this hotel. And then, John, so I hear you at the Omaha Funny Bone. And the whole time I would be talking to you in my brain, I'm like, his chest is bleeding out, and he's not even. You're like, no, it's fine. It's good. This is just bleeding like that. And it's like, so I mean, I would be engaged in the conversation,
yeah.
But I'm still like, does he not know his face is he's bleeding out? So I think that's what the audience
got it.
They were like, afterwards, I had so many people like.
But New Year's Eve shows are two at least, right?
Yeah, two. Okay. And they were like, I can't believe people are like, that was inspiring that you even had the nads to get up in front of all of us. And, you know, because I was getting laughs because I couldn't talk.
Yeah.
And I was holding back my face. So I made a couple jokes on that. But it was.
They made with their money back? Because the guys got bells on stage?
I don't. Who knows? You know what I mean? Really, yeah. Like, who knows?
How bad is that?
But it was. It was one of those things where the second I got off stage, I was like, "Yeah, I put myself through something that I didn't need to. I didn't. Right. I felt very Elephant Man-y."
Yeah.
And I was like,
"I am not an animal."
Yeah. Right. I was like, "That was."
Yeah, that's not the Phantom of the Opera. That's the.
Elephant. Yeah.
That's what I meant by that.
Yeah, and you know, it was one of those things where I was mad at myself for doing it. I was mad at. Not mad at anybody, but I was like, there were a lot of people that could have told me you shouldn't. Let's just cancel the show
right,
for you.
Right.
But whoever said the show must go on, wasn't the entertainer. It was the people who were selling tickets and making money.
Of course,
are the ones who said that.
Yeah.
So what happened?
I know you canceled your weekend here.
Yeah. 12:02. I literally walk off stage.
Yeah.
And I pick up my phone, I call my manager at, you know, midnight, wherever he was, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I'm done.
Right.
I go, I don't know what my schedule looks like this week, but I have to be done. There's no way.
Yeah.
So then he's like, well, what are we going to, you know, then you got to cancel. And then I go, I have to be done or healthy by time, because that only stresses you out more.
Right.
I go, let's just give me 2 or 3 weeks.
Yep.
And then.
See what happens.
Hopefully, we'll see. And literally for 2 weeks, I laid in bed, I watched TV, and I didn't think of, and I'm getting emails from my lawyer. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got to figure out this settlement. Who's getting the dogs? Who's getting the...
Oh, my God.
You know,
let's get into that after the break here. John Heffron with us. He's healthy. He's fine.
And he's as funny as ever.
I don't know about mentally, but he's fine.
Yeah, he's available,
right.
Ladies.
Oh, he is, ladies. Yeah. And he's not Mr. Melty Face either. Yeah. He's not the Phantom of the Opera dating guy, right?
Less and less melty every day.
Yeah. Come on back.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler.
And thank you for listening to the podcast.
Please take a second to tell us how much you like the podcast.
And don't forget to comment.
Thanks again. On to the next podcast episode.